We continue in our series of shiurim about Hagolah. The amount of water you need to have in the pot that you're using to kasher the other pot. So the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yud Gimel says that you have to have 60 times the water versus all the kalim that you're kashering. And therefore, if you're kashering many kalim, and you may not have shishim versus so many kalim, you have to keep on changing the water. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Yud Gimel says, B'shas Hadchak, if you're kashering one vessel at a time, as long as you have shishim versus each vessel, that is fine. And the question really is, because how do we look at what happens when you kasher? Do we say that if I'm kashering a keli and the bleus are coming out, do the bleus remain in that water? Or do I say that the bleus sort of disappear? And it's probably, as we keep on saying in our shiurim, connected to the shaila that we've discussed previously, and that is, what is Hagolah all about? Is it burning what's in the walls, or is it expelling what's in the wall? The keli that we're kashering should be an Eina Ben Yoimai. We should make sure that it's clean. And what's critical is that there's no rust on the keli. And the reason that there may not be any rust is, again, dependent on how Hagolah works. If Hagolah works that the water is going into the walls of the pot and burning them out, the rust prevents that from happening. If, on the other hand, the purpose of Hagolah is to schlep out, to expel the bleah, the rust blocks that expulsion from happening. So again, we should not use that keli for 24 hours, and we should make sure there's no rust. The Paiskim do, however, say that if there's a stain which is not rust, and the way to tell if it's a stain versus rust is if there's any mamoshes, if there's any substance to it. If there's any substance to it, then it's considered a rust. If there is no substance to it, it's considered a stain. The Paiskim also say that since, as we've mentioned previously, whenever you kasher, you need to be concerned that the blia is going out, but something is going in at the same time. So if you have two pots that you want to kasher at the same time, the best thing to do is always kasher everything you're going to kasher individually. Because if you're not going to be kashering them individually, you need to be concerned that the bleah that's going out from one pot is going into the other pot. And therefore, certainly, what you should never do is kasher a milchige pot and a fleishige pot at the same time. Because if you're kashering a milchige pot and a fleishige pot at the same time, you chance the risk that the bleah from the milchige pot is going to go into the fleishige pot, and the bleah from the fleishige pot is going to go into the milchige pot. So instead of accomplishing something with your kashering, you actually made it worse. And therefore, certainly if you're kashering milchige and fleishige pot at the same time, you should be careful not to do that. But even in a situation where you're not kashering milchigs and fleishigs at the exact same time, you should be careful to always kasher each keli individually. The Shlah, in fact, says that not only should you not kasher milchigs and fleishigs together, not only should you not kasher two different kalim together, but he says if you're going to be kashering a number of kalim in a pot, you should first kasher the kalim that have a smaller, a lesser blia, and then only afterwards kasher kalim that have more of a blia. It's important when you kasher that not only do you kasher the keli, but you also have to kasher the handles of the keli. And actually, this is a halacha in Simen Tuf Nun Aleph Suf Yud Beis, where the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Hakeim Tzorach Lahagil Yudei Seyem Kamaisan. You have to not only kasher the keli, but you also have to kasher the handle. You have to kasher the handle of the keli as well. And when we speak about kashering the handle of the kelim, even if the handle did not get hot, there is a concept in halacha of cham miktsosoi, cham kolay. Furthermore, if the handles are not one with the keli, they're attached with screws, so they are paiskim that say that that makes the handle to be considered separate from the keli. But most paiskim disagree and say that we say cham miktsosoi, cham kolay. And not only do we say cham miktsosoi, cham kolay, but when it's screwed on, there may be room for a crack in between the handle and the keli, and you have to make sure to have it completely cleaned out, that there should be nothing there, as we just discussed a moment ago, because hagola is not effective if there's any dirt. If the handle is made out of piskin, out of plastic, even though there are piskin that say that plastic can't be kashered, number one, most poskim actually hold that that it can be kashered. And not only do most poskim hold that plastic can be kashered, here you're only kashering the handle because of cham miktsosoi, cham kolay, and therefore you can kasher it. If you're concerned, say the poskim, that if you're going to kasher, you're going to stick in your whole pot that you're kashering, the pot that you're kashering, as we just said, has a plastic handle, and you're going to be sticking it into a pot of boiling water on the fire, it will cause that plastic handle to melt. The Paiskim say that, again, since the handle did not come in direct contact with the thing that made this pot that makes you need to kasher, you could do an irrecreation by pouring boiling water directly from the pot, that would be fine for kashering the handle. Now, sometimes you have a very big keli to kasher. And even though you have a big pot full of water in which you are kashering, it's still not large enough sometimes to immerse into the pot. So you have or sometimes it's very small. You're kashering silverware. And obviously you need to be holding on to the silverware when you're sticking it into the pot of boiling water. And you can't put your hand, obviously, into that pot of boiling water. So the Paiskim say that halachically it's fine if you kasher a half a keli at a time. Or it's fine if you kasher it with tongs. Yes, you have to move the tongs because the place that the tongs were tight, the water didn't penetrate. The Paiskim, however, say it's better to kasher the whole keli at one time. Because again, the concern is if you're only kashering a half a keli at a time, you need to be concerned that the half that you already kashered, and now you have the other calf that you're kashering, the bleus will travel back and forth. And therefore, especially when you're kashering silverware, you should use like a basket that has holes, and just stick the entire basket with the silverware into the keli that you're kashering. Now, it's a very interesting point. You're kashering. Whatever you're kashering, let's say you're kashering silverware or whatever, and you're sticking into your pot of boiling water. So the pious can say, on one hand, you have to let it get totally immersed in that boiling water. On the other hand, if you leave it there too long, you risk the problem that the blia that went out will go right back in. And therefore, the pious can say you have to make sure that it's totally, totally immersed. But right after it's totally immersed, remove it right away. And for the same reason, the Shulchan Aruch says that right after you finish the kashering, here the Shulchan Aruch in the last Sif, Sif Zayin, says, Nohagin lishtav akli b'mayim karim acha kolamiyat. Immediately wash it off with cold water. And the reason you wash it off immediately with cold water is for the reason that we've been explaining. Because you've accomplished that the bliya has been expelled. If you're going to let that bliya remain on the wall of the keli, we need to be concerned it's going to go right back in, and what have you accomplished? And therefore, by immediately washing it off with cold water, you stop any bliya from going back into it. As we discussed in a previous year, and every act of kashering, the Rishonim ask, that why isn't kashering considered an act of Eim Avatam Issa L'Chatchila? And because the Rishonim are concerned that it's considered Eim Avatam Issa L'Chatchila, so in order not to have any benefit, you should not use that water that you kasher with. We said earlier that if the pot you use to kasher, after, if you want to use it, you should kasher it before you use it, because we're concerned that the bleus that were in the kalim that you kashered now are in that pot, and you don't want, especially if it's a bleah that you don't want to have. As we said, the Bi'er Halacha quotes that kashering should be done after 3 days, but that's not the pshat. It should be done before 3 days before Pesach. When you need to do tvila because you bought the pot from an akum, and you also need to kasher, the halach is that first, this is the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodei Sin in Kuf Chof, first do the kashering, and only afterwards do the tvila. If you have a pot that the only thing you're using the pot for is for kashering, the halach is such a pot does not require tfilah. This, as we just discussed, is the basic outline of the halachas of kashering. The water, one more halacha, is that the water that you use, the Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Tuf Nun Beis, A says, Emagilim Bechamei Tveria, water that was coming from the Chamei Tveria should not be used. And similarly, water that's heated up by the sun should not be used. On the other hand, water that was heated up on an electric heat, you have an electric stove, that water can be used for kashering. On the other hand, water that is heated up by sticking in an immerser, that should not be used. The Shulchan Aruch says, this goes back to Siman Tuf Nun Aleph, that if the bliya was through a kli rishon, the kashering is through a kli rishon. If the bliya was through a kli sheni, the kashering is to be done with a kli sheni. But it's difficult to manage all these halachas, and therefore the proper thing to do is always to kasher on a Kli Rishon, unless it's difficult, and if the Bliya wasn't directly from a Kli Rishon, then you should kasher with a Eri Kli Rishon, but try to avoid kashering in any other way than using a Eri Kli Rishon, because there are even situations that you use the Keli only to be Kli Sheni, that the halacha views it as if it was a Kli Rishon. One of the examples, if you had a Dover Gush, if you have a hot solid food on a plate, so that plate, sorry that you don't kasher Kli Cheres, but if it's a plate that you could kasher, or it's a pot that you could kasher, a Dover Gush makes it be considered like a Kli Rishon. Or, the Paiskim suggests, if a pot or anything was used many times, even though they were always used as a Kli Sheni, but since it was used so many times, the halacha considers it like a Kli Rishon. A ladle, again, even though I'm putting the ladle into the Kli Rishon, and therefore it should be considered a Kli Sheni, the halacha is that it's actually considered a Kli Rishon. Similarly, a keli in which something that you want to, was something liquid was stored for 24 hours, is considered a Kli Rishon. A keli in which something sharp was left, even for as little as 18 minutes, is considered a Kli Rishon. A knife with which you cut a sharp food, and even a radish, is considered a Kli Rishon. That knife is considered a Kli Rishon. And because of all these different situations that I just mentioned, the Paiskim suggest that it's very hard to determine that anything is considered a Kli Rishon. And because it's so difficult to consider anything really a Kli Rishon, the halacha is that we treat everything like, we don't treat anything like a Kli Sheni, we treat everything like a Kli Rishon, and should be kashered by immersing in a Kli Rishon. As we've discussed previously, in a Kli Rishon that's on the fire, at the very, very worst, an Eri Kli Rishon, and an Eri Kli Rishon will only work if it didn't become need to kasher by being a Kli Rishon on the fire. If the need for kashering arose because it was a Kli Rishon on the fire, then the only way to kasher is with a Kli Rishon on the fire.